Hello all together and welcome back to our next lecture after the lunch break. Before we start over, I want to say two more things. At first, if you have questions during the lecture and if you are okay with that, please use the microphones in the middle. Just go there. So first thing is you and the speaker sees that there is a question. The other thing is this lecture will be recorded and will be published for download and rehearsal afterwards. So it's really nice to understand the questions that come from auditory. The other thing is, don't forget, tonight is Linux night and there's last tickets available at the counter at the entrance. So if you want to join, just go there, buy them and come. It's called the social event because, yeah, we will have to do a lot of fun, a lot of nice chat, some dance, nice buffet. So I hope you want to come and join. Here our next topic is a continuation of a keynote held on LinuxTag 2010. Microsoft and open source, a new perspective. And this lecture does go to the title, Microsoft and Open Source, an update on the journey. The speaker, both of the keynote in 2010 and this lecture today, is part of Microsoft for more than 15 years, and his field of work is in particular the interoperability with and the openness to open source software in his company products and departments. I like to call him kind of an open source evangelist of Microsoft. And I know he really supports that Microsoft is Microsoft's gold sponsorship on LinuxTag. So please welcome the general manager of Microsoft's Unlimited Potential Group, James Utzschneider.
Thank you. And thank you for such a kind welcome. And I do have to warn you that I am giving the exact same talk I gave 2 years ago. I've only updated it with all of the new open source projects that we've started and invested in over the course of the years. And it's important in a way for me to come to audiences and communities like this and give the same basic talk because the message and our approach hasn't changed. What we're here doing in Germany today is the same thing we do in open source meetings and community get-togethers around the world. It's simply reinforcing the fact that Microsoft has changed as a company and we've become more open. It's an important part of our strategy. It's an important part of our engagement with developers and people on the web. And it's an important part for how we can connect and build good technology and business relationships with members of open source communities around the world. So when we talk about how we've changed as a company and become more open, we like to focus on three core things. The first one, in a sense, this is like what you tell little children to do when they're in school and playing with their friends, is we want you to play well with others. And that means we work very hard to be good partners and good technology integrators when it comes to standards, interoperability, and integration with open source. The second theme is that we do this for a very simple reason. Our customers ask us to. There are so many customers around the world, whether they're consumers using web software or businesses running mixed IT environments, that have said, Microsoft, we're sick of the drama, we're sick of the religion. Could you just make sure your software and products work with software and products from other companies, please, so we can get on with our jobs? And then the third point that we'd like to reinforce is that as Microsoft, as long as the industry makes this journey to the cloud, we're doing so in an open way, supporting open source and open standards. So let's walk through what it means. And for starters, we'll talk about this idea of playing well with others in terms of interoperability, integration with open source, and supporting standards. The starting point, and this is something that still a lot of people around the world don't fully understand, is that Microsoft invests an enormous amount of engineering talent, time, and money in standards organizations and standards processes. We're a formal member of over 150 standards organizations around the world, and our engineers actively participate in over 400 standards working groups. And we do so not just by email. We actually get on planes and go to the windowless hotel conference rooms and sit down with engineers from other companies, from open source communities, and from governments to work through how the industry can define standards to enable new levels of integration and interoperability. And this is just a small list of the work that we do here. And this isn't work that we just sort of salute. We build the support for standards into our products. And it's one of the reasons why we're able to have such a wide number of connections and relationships with other software companies and communities around the world. And the starting point for any sort of discussion around Microsoft's work with standards has to start with Windows. And one could argue that Windows today is the broadest product ecosystem in the world. And Windows 7 has been having some good success. There's been over 500 million copies of it that have been sold since it shipped 2.5 years ago. Windows Live, the web companion for Windows, has over 500 million users. There are 4 million applications that have been written for developers. We have over 40,000 cloud partners to the Windows platform. 3/4 of the servers that ship around the world ship using Windows. And for every dollar that Microsoft makes in software revenue, developers and partners make $9. And this is a very, very important set of information to share with people in the open source community, because if Microsoft can have this big of a platform and support open standards and interoperability and your community projects, it creates an opportunity for you to touch and reach more customers by partnering with us. And that's certainly our approach when we talk about Windows, because all of those standards bodies that we support and work with on a regular basis, those standards ship as the APIs for Windows, whether it's APIs for what we do around networking devices, all of our support for modern web standards, but also at the hardware and the subsystem level. And it's the reason why in 2.5 years there's 800,000 apps that have been written for Windows 7. And there's almost 250,000 devices that plug in and automatically work with Windows. And it's because of the standards work that we do. And many of you have heard of a new version of Windows called Windows 8, and we're continuing this path, especially when it comes to the supported programming models for Windows based around internet and internet standards. One of the cool things about the cloud right now is that as we develop new capabilities, especially in consumer cloud scenarios, there's a growing need for a new set of protocols and a new set of standards that enable sharing and interoperability of identity, data, state amongst users. And these emerging standards are areas that Microsoft is spending an awful lot of engineering time and money supporting and partnering with other web and consumer companies. So we're using some of these standards to enable Messenger and IM to be able to integrate with over 85 different other cloud services and social networking platforms. You may have heard of our consumer cloud storage capability called SkyDrive. SkyDrive is now integrated to run on Android, to run on Apple devices, to be integrated with Firefox, to be integrated with Chrome. And again, this is something where we're not letting customers using different platforms get in the way of being able to experience some of the capabilities that we're delivering. We're using standards to enable customers to be able to do that. IE9 has been a great success for us, primarily because we decided to invest so heavily in CSS3 and HTML5 and sort of get our proprietary work out of the way and have users just experience the web in the best way possible. And it's something that our customers have seen and our partners appreciate. And we're continuing this work today with the consumer preview versions of IE10 that are out in the market right now, where we're investing in even stronger and richer support for HTML5 and CSS3. And here's an example of a Java-based capability that we've integrated into IE10 to enable customers to have better browser security. The same is true for Windows Phone. Even though Windows Phone has a new Metro-style interface, we support HTML5 and new scripting capabilities like jQuery and PhoneGap to enable people to easily build applications that can run on Windows Phone in addition to running on Android and iOS devices. Once you move beyond Office, again, you see that in some of our core products. Once you move beyond Windows, you see again in some of our core products like Office that one of the reasons why it enjoys such a strong level of success with customers, especially customers here in Europe, is because the amount of energy and time that we put into supporting standard document formats and standard security formats. So whether it's supporting ODF or OpenXML or PDF or HTML, we try to give our users the capability to render and store their documents in as many different types of file formats as possible. And for public sector customers here in Europe who have invested so much energy in trying to define and promote the support of standard document formats for civil employees to use, we're quite proud of the work that we've done with Office and the ability that we have to support customers who want to be able to have documents stored in standard formats. We have a new version of Windows Server that's now in beta. It's called Windows Server 2012. We're hopeful it will ship later this year. And again, because we're seeing customers starting to deploy Windows Server not only just in on-premise environments but in private cloud environments, there's a need for us to support standard-based file formats, standard-based data formats, and continue to support open web-based programming models to do this. And this is something, again, that we invest a lot of time on in Windows Server. And when I get to the cloud section, I'll actually talk about that. But here's a quote from The Register, which is a publication in the UK that's not always the most Microsoft-friendly publication when it comes to our work in this space. And they're actually quite astonished by the amount of standards, effort, and energy that we threw into the latest version of Windows Server 2012. Hopefully, by now, many of you, in working with Microsoft and just participating in some of these organizations, can get a sense for the amount of energy and focus and partnership my company throws into engagements with the different key open source communities around the world. Whether it's the folks in California in Apache working with various implementations of Linux, PHP, Java, etc. And I'll walk through these. But this is no longer some obscure little corner of Microsoft that attends these meetings. We have deep levels of integration across these different open source community products in Windows Server, in Office, and in our cloud-based properties. It's just become a mainstream development motion for our company. So let's start with Linux and the fact that for customers in their data centers or in their private cloud environments want to be able to run some workloads running on Linux and some workloads running on Windows, and they'd like to be able to manage and operate these in as efficient a way as possible. We've done a considerable amount of work to have Linux run as a guest within the Windows Server Hyper-V hypervisor. We've invested a considerable amount of money to have our systems management capability, systems manager, to be able to manage Linux instances. And we're doing ongoing series of announcements around our support for Linux. In fact, one of my colleagues just discussed 2 weeks ago about how OpenSUSE is now a flavor of Linux that is being supported by our System Center Manager. And we're doing this because customers say, look, we've got some capabilities running on OpenSUSE, we have some capabilities running on Windows, help us find a better way to manage both. And the contributions that we make to the Linux kernel enable these sorts of customers to be able to do this. We also have an open source project that we've developed internally called CoApp, which is a capability that enables open source developers to easily install applications to run on a Windows environment in a very, very low cost, low hassle way. And we're now having these co-op capabilities made available for Linux as well. Hopefully by now, all of you are quite familiar with the Apache Foundation's Hadoop project. Hadoop was migrated over to Apache in the last year. Microsoft has announced support for Hadoop, both in our on-premise SQL Server implementation and in our Windows Azure cloud environment. And we actually have public sector customers that are in beta now with open government data projects based upon Hadoop running in a Microsoft platform environment. And this is going really well. We have developers who are very excited about the work that we're doing with Apache Hadoop. And it's a good example of a relatively new open source capability that Microsoft is embracing. This is a good quote from Rene, who basically said, over the last 10 years, Microsoft has done a complete 180 on our approach to supporting PHP on our platform. And Pierre, up in the front row here, is one of the PHP contributors who's a key driver of this work. Over the course of the last year, we've been investing significantly in performance optimization of Windows Server and Windows Azure, so that PHP developers can have first-class performance and first-class implementation of the work of PHP applications running on our platform. And what's nice is that we've now got some good community-based development going on between Microsoft developers and PHP kernel developers to make that possible. I mean, Java. Remember the days of .NET versus Java when that seemed to be one of the fun industry fights to watch? Again, what we're doing right now is investing heavily to make sure that Java developers can run their applications in a high-performant way on Windows Server and Windows Azure. And we recently published a plugin to the Eclipse implementation of Java that enables you to easily install and run Java applications in Microsoft's cloud platform infrastructure. Again, in terms of Microsoft and Firefox, it's important for people, first of all, to realize that even though we compete against Firefox with Internet Explorer, we also understand that there are customers who are passionate about using Firefox. So at the same time, we deliver capabilities, new modern capabilities, some of the most important things we're working on in the company, so that these capabilities work extremely well with Firefox, including our Windows Live implementation, our Office 365 cloud-based productivity suite, and the SkyDrive personal storage implementation capability that I shared with you earlier. That all runs really well in Firefox. We also have one of our most downloaded pieces of software we have in the world is the Windows Media plugin for Firefox that enables Firefox users to participate, to play Windows Media Format video and movies. And, you know, when we came out with IE9 and all of the investments that we're doing in HTML5, it caught a lot of people who were just used to this industry pattern of Microsoft fighting everyone else. It caught many of these people by surprise. And here's a nice quote from one of the guys over at Mozilla who said, you know what, Microsoft is actually doing a pretty decent implementation of HTML5 on IE9. and we're pretty happy to see them doing that. When I first took on this job 2.5 years ago, I actually didn't know that much about Drupal. And again, this is an open source project that has a tremendous amount of passion and energy around it. And we're really pleased to see an increasing number of Drupal implementations being deployed on Windows. And one of the nice Drupal showcase projects in the United States is a cloud-based collaboration website built by the Screen Actors Guild, which is the union for Hollywood movie actors. And it's running on Windows Azure, implemented with Drupal, and it's a really cool application, and the customers and users are very happy about it. Node.js is a scripting environment that has developed considerable momentum over the last couple of years, and Microsoft decided a year ago to invest a significant amount of energy in making sure that Node.js ran really well on Windows Azure. So we're doing contributions into the Node.js community process. We've got Node.js essentially as a first-class citizen on our Windows Azure environment, and it's another example of a new open source tool and capability emerging that Microsoft just said, this is going to be great for our customers, let's support it as well as we can. Again, in terms of Samba, our initial approach to Samba was the Samba community has built something that runs on Windows because they saw the enormous amount of customers that we have. And as we've seen our customers use Samba more and more, we decided to start participating directly in the Samba development project and process to make sure that Samba ran really well in a bug-free environment on Windows. So we actually have Microsoft engineers who are submitting to the Samba kernel using a GPL2 license as an example of our doing open source community work. Moodle is something that runs on a lot of Windows implementations around the world. It's an open source education platform. And again, this is something where we take feedback from our customers and developers and give that back into the Moodle community. And we're doing it because customers are running Moodle and they like running Moodle on Windows and they want to see it run really well. It's hard for us to get an ongoing accurate assessment of how much open source development is taking place on Windows and the Microsoft platform. So some of this data came from Black Duck Software, and it's a couple of years old. But at the time, the number of open source projects running on Microsoft was growing a lot. And there were over 350,000 community-based open source projects that supported Windows and the Microsoft platform as early as 2 years ago. As recently as 2 years ago. We have our own open source forge for developers who want to be able to use Windows. It's called CodePlex. And there's now 28,000 open source projects on a Microsoft-sponsored open source community forge. And there's 300,000 registered users for that. And these projects are all primarily open source extensions to Microsoft platform projects. There's a couple thousand for Windows, a couple thousand for Office, over 1,000 for SQL Server, et cetera. And some of you may have heard of WebMatrix, which is a place on Microsoft.com where you can download popular open source projects like Drupal for the Windows platform, and to do so using an implementation that has been tuned and installs very quickly and easily and runs well. And over 1 million people have gone to Microsoft.com to download open source software to run on our products. We've done some recent announcements. We've taken some of the components from ASP.NET, and we've published them, the source code to them. We publish them on CodePlex and on Git. And for those of you who use Git, you see that there's more and more integration work taking place between Microsoft and Git. So one of the core web capabilities that Microsoft has had for the last 15 years, I guess, because I worked on some of the initial IIS teams. I'm getting old. Some of that is now the source code has been opened up. We did some additional work with the OpenStack people, and we assigned some engineers to make sure that OpenStack was integrated really well with our Windows Server hypervisor environment, so that is now an approved part of the OpenStack community. Some of you may have heard that the FreeBSD folks now have some contributions from Microsoft. FreeBSD now runs as a guest OS on Windows Server Hyper-V, and we've contributed code back into the BSD process to make this possible, and we're also doing FreeBSD support with our System Center systems management environment. So now you can now not only run three implementations of Linux on our Windows virtualization platform, you can now start running Unix. A lot of people don't realize that Microsoft has a large academic research organization called Microsoft Research, and it has over 500 primarily PhDs who partner closely with university research departments around the world. We have some of these people here in Germany. And almost all of the work that they do is published as open source. Whether it's in publishing like the chemistry add-in, or education, or scientific capabilities. And you can go to the Microsoft Research website and see examples of all of the open source projects that our researchers have designed and contributed back to the community based on the basic research that they're doing. So that's a snapshot of the work Microsoft has been doing to integrate with open source communities, to foster interoperability with other platforms, and to make sure we do so using standards. And we do this because it makes sense. Customers ask us to. They use open source stuff, they use our stuff, and they want it to work together. So here is a list of mostly European companies that are running Linux and are running Windows side by side, and they're using some of the capabilities that I've discussed to make that cost effective, easy to manage, easy to secure, etc. And this is just a relatively small list. As a matter of fact, I'm publishing a new post on the Microsoft Openness blog. You can find it at microsoft.com/openness later today that discusses some public sector customers who may have announced over the last decade that we're going to go on an only open source policy. And primarily because of the changes we've made to our company in terms of our support for open source and standards and integration and interoperability, these customers have now changed their mind and they're saying, we'll probably go with open source and with Microsoft side by side. And it's a really cool indication of people changing, just the way we as a company have changed, and have software that works together instead of saying it's all or nothing one way or the other. Here's an example of a customer in Florida in the United States that had a Linux-only environment, but they went to a Linux and Windows environment because of the investments we made in supporting Linux in our hypervisor, and it said, wow, it enables us to keep our Linux capabilities, invest in new capabilities that we like from Microsoft, and have it all work together in one environment. So in terms of the approach we're taking in the cloud, as a starting point, I hope everyone understands that the cloud is not a new thing for Microsoft. We've been offering consumer and business cloud services for as long as I've been at the company, and some of the amount of data that we handle is highlighted here. We do over 10 billion, it's a little less than 10 billion messages a day that our data center servers manage on IM. We send out over a petabyte of data a month to people using Windows Update as the mechanism to update their systems and software. Windows Azure, our enterprise cloud platform, is now available in 40 countries. We're investing billions in it. We work with other organizations to use standards that are emerging for the cloud environment to make that happen. I mean, this is something that we're betting the future of the company on, and we're taking it very seriously. But for an open source community, I think it's really important to understand with the Windows Azure platform that's operating today, our strategy is to make sure that open source runs really well. So that you can build in .NET and use Visual Studio and you can publish the source code to that if you'd like. But you can also use Eclipse, Node.js, Java, and PHP to build your applications on Windows Azure if you're doing that. And then you can use open source packages like Drupal, etc., as part of this. And if you could go back in a time machine and have asked Steve Ballmer 10 years ago, someday are you going to take your most strategic cloud platform that you're betting the future of the company on and have it be a great place to run open source? I think we'd all be kind of interested to see what he would say, and I think we'd all know the answer. But we've changed and evolved, and this is now the reality of who we are as a company. And it's something that we think open source developers should be pretty happy about, because it means there's another platform for you to work with when you do your work. So that summarizes where we are on the journey right now. It's the same basic message I shared with you 2 years ago. There's a large number of new capabilities like Node.js and Drupal and Hadoop that we're supporting today. There's more to come. My name is, they didn't even put it in here. I can't do that then. My name is James Utschneider. My email alias is JamesU. I'm open to feedback from all of you, so if you don't feel like asking a question today, please send me an email. Visit our openness blog, microsoft.com/openness. It's a good way to keep up to date on the developments that we do here. And I'd like to now turn over the audience to all of you and see if any of you have any questions. And thank you for your kind applause. No questions? Alles klar?
If there are only a few questions, I can bring the microphone as well.
We have two. You're the first one up at a microphone. Oh, you have the microphone. They have the microphone stand.
Thank you very much. I have a question regarding GPL version 3 and Windows Marketplace. I understand that Microsoft is trying to increase the importance of Windows Marketplace. But I have read that there are issues with Microsoft forbidding copyleft licenses in Windows Marketplace. Do you have information about the current situation there, and what is the outlook for the future?
Excellent question. I read about that, and I think we changed our policy. It's important to know that the Windows Marketplace is still under consumer preview, so it will not go live until Windows 8 goes live. Andreas, do you know that one? Because I'm friends with a lot of people in the Windows team, and when that story came up, I think it was someone working on Windows Marketplace didn't understand it. But we can get back to you on that one. Okay. This gentleman here.
Hello, Robert Partyka from Polish Users Linux Group. Vice President, I must congratulate you. It's a great presentation.
Thank you.
And it's great NLP because it looks like Windows 8.
It's a disease in Redmond right now. Everyone is making their slides.
It's kind of programming. Okay, use Windows 8. But it looks very nice. I have one suggestion to this presentation because it was very nice to see this all kind of statistic information, how big the market of the, let's say, products of Microsoft is. But we should remember that this turnover to the openness of Microsoft is some kind of win-win situation, because you also get some market in the places where you was not so big. Let's take a look at the top 500, the greatest calculation machines, where in fact Microsoft don't exist. It's, I don't know, for installation of the Microsoft services, and the rest is the Linux. So, as I told, because I'm also the businessman. I have my own company, IT company, and I'm also vice president of the Polish Linux User Group. So I hate this language of war, Microsoft, Windows, and so on. But I think this presentation will have better impact if you show also that it's it's good for both sides. It's not only that Microsoft gives something, but Microsoft also reads quite a lot about this, because there are a lot of stuff which you don't need to invent because of you go to the openness.
Yes.
My question is if there is a chance that, for instance, such kind of things like Windows will be better for, or maybe it is because maybe I don't know about something, better available for developers. Because, for instance, I need to have, in fact, all instances of the Microsoft Windows from the XP to the mm-hmm. newest, and only for check if the browser works correct in this version. So buying every boxes, it's for me. It's of course I need to buy it, but it's buy for nothing because I use it only to run the browser.
Sure.
And for instance, if you go to the Oracle, you get the developer version of Oracle for mm-hmm. free. So, and maybe in some days, maybe you show in open source license the software source of
sure.
Windows.
So there's a lot there. First of all, thank you. I totally agree with your good feedback. I mean, of course we're doing this because it's good business. As I mentioned, customers ask us for it. I think a lot of customers are still surprised at the extent we're doing open source integration into our platform. So with the exception of maybe the Linux support in Hyper-V and some of the HTML5 support in IE9, I can't come here and say we now have 100,000 instances of Drupal running on Windows today. But there could be a day when that happens. In terms of helping you test against all of our browsers going back, I mean, XP was a wonderful product for us. It was a terrific product. It made so many people around the world happy. I think it's 12 years old. Yeah, and we're going to stop supporting it, I believe, next year. And we just think it's time for the world to move on. Well, you can. It's a choice that we're making. I mean, we're telling it to our clients, and we have more XP clients than you do.
Yeah, of course, but if you have client with some old machine. But, of course, it's also for the new Windows. Then of course, there maybe will not be a XP client, but there will be a Vista client, got with them. There will be a Linux, Windows 7 and Windows 8 users, and so on and so on. And it will be growing because probably in some days you push another version of the Windows. And as I told, it's in fact mainly check out if the browser works
yeah.
correct.
For the browsers, we provide free virtual machines.
Yes.
You only have to test the browsers. Microsoft provides free virtual machines to test Internet Explorer from 8 to 10. You can forget about 6 and 7. Nobody wants to use that. But I know, but there is, I mean, it's less than 1% in Germany. I mean, you can say to these customers, please update, period.
Yeah.
But for anything else, you can use this. They are completely free. You don't have to buy your Windows to test that.
Thank you, Pierre. I didn't know that.
IcoDat in Germany is Internet Explorer 6 is partly used in public service.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an important option to test even on Internet Explorer 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
moving, but
they're moving it.
But German slow.
Yes.
More questions? I bring you the microphone.
If you ask a question, he'll buy you a free beer tonight.
At Linux night, yeah, of course.
So I also have a question which goes back to the browser thing. You showed on one slide, I think it was about Internet Explorer, I'm not sure if it was 9 or 10, where you said there's like some Java engine that fixes broken markup. Did I get that right?
This is something that someone put onto the slide, and I only spent 30 seconds looking at it, so I apologize. But I think it's a Java add-in that cleans up leftover cookies and state there. I'm sorry, I have to now go back to the beginning of the presentation. So you can look at all of the things again. But the best thing you should do, and I apologize for being a bad presenter.
I think you just passed it, I think.
Yeah, I think I did too. Just look it up and you can learn more about what this is. And because as soon as I'm done, I'm going to go do the same.
Okay, so my question would be, like, it looks like it detects and removes all markup. Wouldn't that actually, like, make people, basically, to me, that fixes broken code, and then stuff that isn't, like, standards compliant would actually run on Internet Explorer 10, while it wouldn't run on other browsers as a result. And isn't that kind of the opposite of what you actually want with
but
standards?
I think this is code that other people write, not Microsoft.
Yes, obviously. I mean, so, but you're encouraging, like, web developers to, yeah.
Let me learn more about this.
Okay,
and
sure.
If you want, like, Andreas can follow up with you.
Okay.
But thank you for pointing it out, because it's the one part of the presentation that I didn't really know that well. Going once. Going twice. Sold. Thank you very much. Please enjoy the rest of the day. And thank the city of Berlin for arranging such spectacular weather for my visit and for Linux Tag. It's just super. Thank you.